Guys, ladies and gentlemen, world, guess what? We got our first ever repeat guest. He's the first guest that was ever on the show. We would like to welcome back two brutal dudes. One of the original brutal dudes, Andy Fury.
This is Petey Page.
I am Mike.
J-Mac.
Brutal Dudes.
Thanks, guys. I'm glad to be back. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Well, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. The last time you were on, you were getting ready to release your special. Obviously, a little bit of time has passed now. How did that go? How did the whole rollout of that go?
It went great. Thank you very much. It was my special Check Right, just on my YouTube page. It's been great, man. I'm super proud of it. And I'm so happy with everybody who put their time and work into it and effort. It really means the world to me and to everybody who watched it and has said nice things in the comments. It's really been really just a tremendous showing of love. It really means so much to me. I can't express that enough. We're such insecure assholes as comics, so when people actually reach out and tell you that something you made that you worked hard on, that they enjoy it, that's really why you do it. But I gotta be honest, I got a couple comments saying I'm here because of the brutal dudes, so thank you guys.
Very nice. Glad we could help out.
Anything we could do, man. It was good. I liked it. I even if we didn't guide anybody to there, I still would have watched it. It was really good.
I got the brutal bump of numbers.
So we're gonna start calling it from now on.
Yeah, that's baby.
It's either that or it's a pregnancy.
Yeah,
I
did a line of coke one night. It was a brutal bump.
I wanted to say my condolences for your loss.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Soder leaving, that was rough. I saw all the stuff you were posting and I felt really bad.
I'm an ancillary character at this point. You know, it's not like I work on the show anymore, so it's not too big a hit emotionally, but it's a once in a lifetime thing where you get two guys like Big J and Dan, and the synchronicity that they had, and just it was almost like, you know, one mind working as one. I don't know if you'll ever capture that. Bobby's great, and you know, I'm sure the show's going to be a huge hit. But you know, it's just like it's a chapter in time, and that was one thing, and then this will be a new thing. So it was a super cool thing to be a part of from the beginning, and I'm excited for the next chapter. You know.
Yeah. Do you have any, do you have anything? So you said you were last time you were on, I think you said you were going to start working on a movie.
Yeah, we are actually, I got a couple things cooking right now. I'm always trying to, you know, write the next special and continue on the road. And then, with all the SiriusXM stuff aside, I have been working on a movie with a couple of my friends. We've been having production meetings. So the next step is kind of just get some money involved. And then I actually have a documentary that I'm going to start working on. It's like a sports documentary. I don't want to say too much about it, but it's going to hopefully be about the Stanley Cup. I'm a big hockey guy, so I don't want the idea to get out there before we've actually sold it. But it'll be really cool if it happens. It'll be really cool. Nobody has ever done anything like this before. I think if we can may raise the money and make it happen, it'll be a really awesome thing. So that's really all I can say right now.
Now you're talking about getting financing together for these projects. Is this something you might be thinking about? Crowdfunding?
Maybe. I'm not that person in the group. So I'm more on the creative side. If it comes to that, I'm happy to do it. I think we might just try and go the traditional route and try and get financiers first. And if that fails, then sure, we'll crowdsource it. I'm not above it.
You should I know 30 for 30 they are always looking for stuff. You might be able to get something off of that.
That's essentially in the vein of how we're going to try and make it. And
because they did I know they did, you're going to know this too, I bet you probably already saw it. The dude from Entourage, and that played Eric in Entourage, I can't remember his name for the life of me, but he did the New York, the Rangers,
right
he did, or no, the Islanders, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's a big Islanders guy. E or whatever.
He did a 30 for 30 on the Islanders, and I'm like,
yes, that was a good
one. No, that's not your team.
No, I'm a direct rival. I'm a New York Rangers fan. I can't stand the fucking Islanders, and that's literally our direct rival.
You don't like the Gordon Fisherman logo?
Yeah, yeah. They had the Gordon Fisherman's jerseys for a while. The Islanders did. Yeah, this would be more of an all encompassing thing. I would love to tell you guys about it, but it's like
it's cool.
You know,
we get it.
Off air, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I was gonna say, everybody listening, just know he told us everything off air and you guys just aren't cool enough to hear it yet.
Yeah, sorry.
It's more of a, we don't have like a patent or anything for it, so it's like anybody at this point, if I say it, could just do the idea, you know what I mean?
Right. So you mentioned too, you know, working on new material and things like that.
Yeah.
So now that you've self-released this special, do you think in the future you're gonna go that route again?
I think so. I don't know if the industry is going to have a change of heart and all of a sudden like me at this point, you know, like, oh, he's older and dumber now. Let's give him a chance. So, yeah, it's like, I'll shop it around, but I'm happy to do it this way because, you know, like I have such great fans and the trend is just doing it yourself now. And I love having ownership of everything. You know what I mean? I can do exactly what I want with it. I don't have to answer to anybody. I can control everything, and then we can release it as an audio album. It can go on SiriusXM Scam. It can go on, you know, all the platforms there. So, you know, when you sell something, it's nice. You get some money and it reaches a lot of people, which would be great. But you've got too many cooks in the kitchen, I think, sometimes at that point. You've got this person saying that. You've got maybe somebody who's a director you didn't choose, or, you know, you've got all these hands in kneading the dough. Whereas when you do it independently, it's just whatever you want, you do. So I love having that option. Having some money and reaching a large audience would be nice. You know, I'd love to be selling out on the road, and I can't say that I would say no if the offer came, but I'm happy to do it the other way, to answer your question.
It's so funny too, because it's like that's very same wavelength as we are on, because we've had similar discussions, like, you know, what we would do if this happened and with that happened. Sure. And especially just take having ownership, because it is really nice to, like, just, you know, not to you know, give the people in that are listening behind the curtains look, but to just email you and be like, hey bro, you want to come on? And you're like, yeah, sure, fuck it, let's do it.
yeah and that's a very cool thing, the way things work today. You know, I was saying maybe last time, I don't remember if I did, but 10-15 years ago, even if you were a comic and you self-produced a special, it still had to be out there somewhere. Like, it's, there was still a gatekeeper in some way. Whereas now, if I produce and make and shoot a special, there'll be eyeballs on it. It will get seen. You know what I mean? Like, right. I remember famously, maybe not so famously, but like Greg Fitzsimmons, maybe like 2008, independently shot his own special. Comedy Central ended up buying it, and then it aired. But if they didn't buy it, some people might not have seen it. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a great time if you're an independent comic, or, you know, creative in any regard, to be able to make something and have people see your stuff. And then still, the hopefully it will, people see, some people maybe will see it and then say, hey, let's work together on your next thing. So you never know, I guess, is the point. Just make it and you see what happens. That's the way I'm doing it.
That's very much, and that's very in flux of what we're doing here too. So that's cool.
And what's cool about it too is, you know, you had mentioned if you sell it to a TV network or streaming service, whatever it is, it's going to be available for a certain amount of time on there. Now, with this being up on YouTube, people can come and watch this whenever they want.
Exactly.
They're not on a schedule or a particular rotation in a streaming.
That's also true too. Yeah. You don't have to deal with some fucking cartoon that Comedy Central made that four people are going to watch. You know what I mean? Or whoever's hosting the fucking Daily Show this week. But yeah, you know, you have ownership, and that's great. It's a great thing to have.
You mentioned releasing an audio version of it. Is that something that you have in the works?
It's out. I released it. It was all like the same day. I just didn't really make a big deal about the audio version because I wanted eyeballs on the video. But yeah, we just kind of released it with Ghost Runner Records. They are an independent label ran by two great comics, Andy Hendrickson, who's in LA, and Tony Deo, who's right here, probably three blocks down the street from me in Astoria, Queens, New York. And I love working with comics who run their own label because they know what comics want and they know what they need. And Tony Deo really was one of the people I thank at the end of the special, him and my director, Chris. Like, I couldn't have done it without those two guys. I really couldn't have. Tony got, you know, in front of problems before, like, they would get to me. And, like, even night of the taping, Tony was the man. And he's also a brilliant engineer and mixer for the audio. And on top of being a great comic himself. And so, we released the audio album, and it's available if you want to purchase it, or it's available on Spotify and SiriusXM. It's in the rotation there. So it's definitely cooking out there as an audio album as well, if you just want to throw the headphones on.
Very nice. Now,
I got clams now, too. See?
Yeah.
Now, is there a physical edition of it, like a DVD or Blu-ray or anything coming?
I don't think so. I think it's just on the YouTube for now. It's, you know, we don't have that much money to put into the outdated platforms such as the DVDs or the Blu-rays.
VHS.
We were thinking about making a seven, like a record, like just a vinyl, just to be cool. But it's so fucking expensive. Like,
funny
it would be fun
that.
To frame and kind of have like a small printing, but it's super fucking expensive.
Funny you say that. We actually just made a connection with the biggest vinyl pressing company on the East Coast.
Really? Hook it up.
Yeah.
All right.
So maybe we'll, if you need to, we can put a word in.
All right. I love a connection.
You know, it would be really funny. I was just thinking about this. If you did like if you re-released the special on YouTube, but you did like a commentary track that's just you telling more jokes on the commentary track.
This is so funny because when me and my editor, this is so funny. When me and my editor were, it was the director, Chris Morgan, when we were sitting there and, you know, we've been watching it over and over and over again, you start to make fun of your own bits. And we started to do DVD commentary. We started to do that just to entertain ourselves while we were editing. There's one point toward the end of the special, I talk about how, you know, COVID, early COVID, you know, I just have this aside where I was like, you know, we didn't know what was going on. And me and Chris just started riffing. We just, anytime we look at each other, we just be like, nobody knew. Like, we didn't know. Nobody knew. And we just kept going on that to the point where the joke has lost all humor for me on the actual special. And now I just think of like, yeah, because nobody knew. Nobody knew at the time. And so it's so funny that we were actually doing a DVD style commentary just to make fun of me. Because we had watched it over and over and over at that point. And, you know, when you're editing something, it's just ad nauseum. And it's the worst part about doing a special is like you just get so sick of your own stupid face and jokes. You're just like, when it's done, you're so thankful to just not have to deal with you anymore. But that we were doing a DVD commentary. That's so funny.
I was just thinking, like, how funny would it be? Like, hey, my new special's out, and it's the same thing. It's just you guys talking over top of the
show. Dude, it's not a bad idea. Is there an audience for that, do you think?
I don't know, but I'd watch it.
Yeah, I'll be honest, maybe we could try. I mean,
it's not like... going to cost you anything more because you already shot the special, so you might as well.
Yeah, probably just recording a track over the special, you know? It's probably an easy.
You can
Pro
even
Tools
do like
fix.
You can even do like this is the pre DVD release and you're not releasing the DVD. But like yeah. put like this is the footage that you missed from the special and just put the cut clips.
Yeah,
all in
yeah.
a row like that. There's no context to the jokes and be like, here's the deleted scenes.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, we love doing shit like that. So I don't know. Maybe I feel like people do like hearing about the stories behind jokes. Maybe.
Oh yeah.
Like real hardcore comedy fans, I think like that. So you might be onto something. I don't know. Boy, between vinyl and the DVD commentary, we're really cooking up the business ideas tonight.
This is kind of our new thing when we go on, when we interview. I've become an idea man that I hand them out. We talked the band into making a monocle as a piece of merch. I just said it would just be so much easier. You could see the whole time, and then you could still support the band with the monocle. It's a
totally.
Great idea.
Yeah, man.
Maybe Jimmy also has a porn movie pitch. I don't know if that's applicable to our night, but okay. If you want to get into the porn business...
I don't.
You want to know it? I can tell you it. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I'll hear it. I'm always down for it.
So I told when Sarah J came on, I tried to pitch it to her. She kind of shot it down, and I was a little upset about that because I was like hoping she'd be like, "We should totally produce this." And I'm like, "Cool, you know." It's basically Mortal Kombat, but porn. So okay. An entity comes, right? And he's like, "We're going to take over your universe, your dimension,
right?"
And the only people that can stop it are these. Porn stars.
Yeah.
And each porn star has to engage in a porno thing with another porn star, but that's like, you know, like a like Melina versus Baraka, but it's like porn stars. Oh, so they okay. all have their own little niche. So it'll be like a bondage star goes up against like a guy.
That's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, and like, then it's I've like seen... each, and then it's you build up to it, and at the end, you know, you have the tournament. I feel like it'd be very it's very campy, but at the same time, it would be like you could split it up into the yeah. into what porn is now, which is short, like shorts, but sure. you can combine it as a long form story. And then you can just, you know, you can watch all the pieces of it, you know, as you're, you know, wanking it. And then you could get a either a longer wank or you could do the short wanks and just space it out and still have a story. It'd almost be like watching Breaking Bad, but like jerking off on every episode.
Did you do you not watch Breaking Bad like that?
Finish him off.
Yeah, exactly.
There
exactly.
you go.
But that's what I was getting at. And she's like, yeah, that sounds great. You should do it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, shit on my idea. Thanks. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, or you could have a like a round robin style, yeah, like porn tournament with the characters from Mortal Kombat. Now we're just going crazy, but
No, dude.
Yeah, you're the idea.
This is brainstorming, man. You know what this is. But yeah,
I don't know if it's for me, but I wouldn't be impressing anybody in the porn game. Let's be honest.
You know, you never know. There's a spot for everybody. I haven't lost faith, and I'm a big guy. I still think that if I put my heart and soul into it, I could probably have a niche. There's
yeah,
got to
yeah.
be girls that like big dudes, right? You got to figure that's a fetish.
But how are you going to work the clown thing into it?
Oh, well, I mean, you just get them. You just talk them into it. Like, you got to have that silver tongue.
So Jimmy's thing is clown porn.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Not, everybody's got their thing. They just made the.
Just clown girls.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not make it weird.
I'm bummed because they just made they just stole the title about my sophomore year of college, which was Cocaine Bear. So it's already got taken.
They're literally all. There's going to be so many coming out now. I was saying, what was I? Ecstasy Leopard should be the next one.
This one's not mine. I saw somebody post it online, but it was Viagra Shark.
Viagra Shark's fun.
Yeah,
and Meth Gator is actually coming out. Meth Gator.
Meth Gator would be awesome.
That's, I assume, set in Florida.
Who knows? Oh, yeah. Maybe it's a zoo in Ohio and the gator gets out and goes crazy. I mean,
Molly eats Monkey.
His way down to Florida.
He just eats his way through Florida.
They don't and make then they can fight like each that. Other. You'll have fucking Meth Shark versus Molly Monkey and, you know.
Oh, Molly Monkey. That's a good one, dude. Thanks. That's good. I didn't even think about that.
They're bosses in porno combat.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. It's like Mega Man. Right, yeah. But porno Mega Man, you have to like
chisel on the monkey with in order gas to like now.
Shoot the gator with a wad and clam it all up. But no, but they don't make. I'm almost sad that people are like shitting on Cocaine Bear. Speaking of Cocaine Bear, because I had a little bit of a rant about this the other day. They're like, oh, that's so stupid. Like, why would anyone pay money to see that? And I was like, you do know George Clooney's first movie was Return of the Killer Tomatoes, right? Like, that's George Clooney was in the Killer Tomato movie.
I saw it in the theater. Like, I saw Cocaine Bear in the theater.
But it's that's what I'm saying. Like, why is that a bad movie to make? Yes, it's dumb. Yeah, is it dumb? Absolutely, it's dumb. But like, why is Attack of the Killer Tomatoes? Like, why is that not? Why don't they make more movies like that anymore? Because yeah. I feel like it would be funny as shit. And like, it's almost like it's too fun to be in the world right now.
I agree.
Mean?
There needs to be a return to like silly, stupid comedies. If our movie gets made, it's like it's dumb as fuck, but like the concept is stupid, but it's so funny. And it's like it's slapsticky. It's got one-liners, but it's got visual gags, but it's also got like smartish jokes. It's like the way I tell people, I'm like, it's like airplane style humor where it's like we're just trying to fit as many jokes in as possible.
Yeah.
The subject matter is stupid as shit. But it's a fun movie. And I don't think we've gotten away from silliness in comedy movies, like, right? I can't remember the last like silly, funny, hilarious movie. Like, oh, I almost want to go back to like Billy Madison. It's like, it's so dumb. It's so fucking hilarious, though. And it's kind of, it's not spot on to use the word smart, but like, there's some hilarious, hilarious shit in Billy Madison where it's just like, oh, we don't have fucking movies like that anymore.
Yeah, like I was saying this about the other day, like Happy Gilmore. Like that's one of my favorite movies of all time. Holy. And he literally fights an alligator in a pond to get a golf ball. And I'm like,
yeah,
Yes, it's clearly a fake alligator, but like, who cares? Like, that's funny as shit. Like, I miss movies like that. Like, or Animal House, where the horse dies, where they keep the horse coke or whatever, and he just dies. I'm like, that's a stupid scene.
Oh, and that really, party.
It's not even relevant to the movie itself, but it's like, that's so fucking funny.
I know. What a great flick. I gotta go. I haven't watched Bachelor Party in a while.
Yeah, that's fucking horse party. But it's like literally, like you come up with a prep, like, oh, we were going to get pizza, and then just tell a stupid fucking story about going to get pizza.
Right.
Like,
right.
You don't have any of those stories anymore. I think it's because a couple of people tried and it like failed. Like, Dude, Where's My Car? That movie sucked. It wasn't that fun.
I know. Yeah.
But it's like, I don't fault those guys for trying it, because that's what you want. No. You want to give it a shot, but it's like, you can do better. And then it's like Harold and Kumar came out, and like, that's kind of funny, but it's like not that funny. And it's like, I think the problem is you need to ignore the fact that everyone is so on edge that they're going to shut you down for whatever you do.
Yeah.
That's, just do it. Just do the joke.
And that comes back to another great thing about just being completely independent, is that you don't have to answer anybody. And if there's blowback, fuck them. I don't have to answer to any. I just don't care. So.
Yeah, it's so sad. Cause I was saying, like, I would love it if now like a Attack of the Killer Tomatoes would come out. Like, I would go see it, because it's so dumb, but it's like,
I do think you're right. Studios are scared of bad PR, bad press. And they're so averse to risk right now, where they're spending millions and millions of dollars and they don't want to just have any sort of controversy whatsoever.
Yeah, and it's even, it even permeates too. Like, it's not even just, I don't even think it's just comedy movies. It's just movies in general
that have
anything funny. Like, I remember when the first Ghostbusters came out, if you watch that movie again, it's like, this was a completely original idea that Dan Aykroyd just thought up in his brain and just was like, here, guys, let's make funny jokes around this and tell this story. And it's like, nobody does that anymore. If it's not a remake of something that's already done, it's like a toned down version of that movie. Like,
yeah.
It's so frustrating.
Hot Rod was a great, like, silly, stupid, hilarious movie. That was fucking great.
The 5-minute fall down the fucking hill. I love that.
Totally. Yeah. Dude, we have all sorts of shit like that.
Dude, another one is Grandma's Boy. Like,
Grandma's Boy, you're right.
It's not like the best movie you'll ever see,
but it's fun. Funny as shit. It's fun. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
It's sad, man. It's like, and you're right. I think you're absolutely right that it's like, we're going to have, like, people are just going to have to take the reins out of the people that are complaining.
Yeah, just make your own shit. Fuck you. Can.
Like, this is comedy itself is supposed to make you look at yourself and be like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm an asshole.
Right,
like that's
right.
That's the essence of it in general. And it's like, if you can't do that, then we're going to be living in fucking North Korea, because they're not allowed to fucking sneeze the wrong way. And then they get a bomb thrown on them. It's like, I don't want that. I don't want that here. I want to be able to like watch Blazing Saddles and know that it's a funny movie and not feel like I offended 800 years of people in oppression. Like, I don't want that. I want to be able to laugh and be like, that's a funny black guy dick joke.
That would be a funny thing, though, to do, is just to have like a screening of Blazing Saddles at a college and just like sit behind like the mirror that they can't, the two-way mirror, and just watch those fucking millennials lose their minds. That would be fun.
Did you see the most recent Beavis and Butthead movie?
No, but I've caught a few of the random episodes on, and they're great.
The feature length movie has a whole sequence where they go to a college.
Oh, wonderful.
There's something similar that happens where they sit in
fantastic. Class. Oh, I'll have to check it out. I need a movie for tonight. Maybe
it's worth it just for that sequence alone.
I mean, I was plumb for the picking when Beavis and Butthead premiered. I was like 14, 15 years old, you know, in like 94. So I was like right on board with Beavis and Butthead. So there's a little piece of my heart always with them. And the new episodes are great. Like, I love how they found different things to watch other than just music videos. You know, like they're watching YouTubes or TikToks now. It's great. Mike Judge, what a fucking, there you go. You know, Office Space, that's a classic.
Did you ever see his show? His other show, the not King of the Hill. He did a show for, I think it was Cinemax. It's called Tales from the Tour Bus.
No.
So he basically interviewed, it's, I don't know why they fucking canceled it after 3 seasons. It was so great. He basically picks a genre of music for the season and he goes into that the people that are prominent in that genre, and he interviews them.
Yeah.
And he interviews the people that were with them. It's sort of like a documentary, but then he Mike Judge animates the stories.
Oh, wow.
So he did one on Rick James, and he animated the Rick James stories about Rick James being naked and kicking somebody in the face. And it's one of the funniest fucking things I've ever heard in my life. God. There's another story that I loved when I saw. He does George Clinton, because he did a whole funk season.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did George Clinton, and George Clinton talks about how they dropped acid, and then they were driving around in Pittsburgh when they were filming Night of the Living Dead. And because the streets are literally crawling with zombies at 3 a.m,
that's George Clinton funny.
And Parliament thought that the zombies had actually come up, and they were in the middle of the apocalypse. So they're like peeling out.
Pittsburgh is probably just a regular Tuesday night. Holy shit!
They're like peeling out.
They're like, not again.
Like, son of a bitch, the dead are rising. And it's like he animates it, and it's like it's so cool to see. But they did country. I think he did Charlie Daniels. He did one on Charlie Daniels, and I forget who else. But like. There was like a whole, there was 3 seasons, and I only saw like 5 or 6 episodes, but like, we didn't have Cinemax, it was free Cinemax week. And of course, you find the good Cinemax shit the last 2 days of free Cinemax week. So like, I didn't get to see, but man, it was like the episodes I saw, I was like, this is so fucking good. Like, what a great idea.
Oh man, that is fantastic. All right, cool. I got something to check out. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, man. I do what I can.
Absolutely.
Now, are you on the road currently touring?
Yes, I am. I have a very busy April, May. Summer is getting on the books right now. But yeah, I'm in Virginia, Maine. I'm all over the Columbus with Soder at the end of April.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. Just go to andyfiore.com. I'm, hitting the road hard.
Are you coming to Philly at all anytime soon?
You know, it's funny. Philly always kind of gets overlooked because it's so close for me, but I should. I got to figure that out. I'm writing it down right now, actually.
Or Soul Joles. I know Soder did Soul Joles.
Yeah, I did Soul Joles in like October. So probably sometime soon. I do a Jersey Shore show every summer with him in like Stone Harbor, New Jersey. I usually do it every August because I just like go down to the beach for a week. And there's a theater there that I've been doing the last like 3 years in a row that I'll probably do again this summer. Become a little tradition. Awesome. So yeah, that'll be in like August. That's probably the closest to Philly that I have now. But
we can, I mean, that's drivable. We would like to come see a live one. See a live performance.
Please come to the beach. We'll hang. We'll have a few cocktails. We'll see Shorty Long. It really is.
Do you ever see Shorty Long?
No, I never have.
Oh, he's a midget. They do it. They're a cover band, and he's a midget that is like the lead of the cover band. My dad fucking loves it.
That sounds like
my
Wildwood.
I think it is Wildwood. Yeah,
it's gotta be.
My dad, legitimately, like they go. It's Wildwood or Seaside. They always go Seaside.
Yeah, it's definitely Wildwood. Just from the description,
when they go, he's like, oh, we're gonna go see Shorty Long, and I'm like, who the fuck is Shorty Long? And he's like, it's a midget guy. He sits a chair and he sings songs. It's like a cover band, and I'm like. That's terrible. And then I went and saw midget wrestling, and I was like, "It's not terrible. It's fucking fantastic. Amazing.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing."
All right, a lot of good recs tonight. Shorty Long, Tales from the Tour.
Yeah, we're having. I don't know if you ever heard of Beatallica. Have you ever heard of Beatallica?
The Talica?
Yeah.
No.
They're a Beatles Metallica mashup band.
I love it.
They're coming on. When do we have them coming on? April?
I can't remember.
I think it's the end of April. They're coming on.
I smoked away all of the short term.
That sounds awesome. I love both of those things.
Fantastic. Since I'm throwing shit out at you. Yeah.
Yeah. Metallica. Yeah. They're awesome.
They mix Beatles lyrics and Metallica songs and then Metallica lyrics and Beatles songs.
That's so
surprisingly
fun.
They all go together really well.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Yeah.
As somebody who splits my time between Philadelphia and New Jersey most of the time, what part of the Jersey Shore are we talking about? Because since we already mentioned Wildwood, where
like
do you usually
Stone Harbor is where I usually go. I just went there when I was a kid, so it's like down near Cape May. It's pretty far down there.
You know Cape May. My
Cape May, yeah.
That's the end of the Jersey shit state. Yeah. Stone Harbor's like exit 10 on the parkway if you want to do that game. It's down there.
I remember we did a... they're not around anymore, but we did an Atlantic City surf game one time. And it was a lot of fun, but my friends were both completely wasted and they got picked for Dizzy Bat, the race on the field. And my one old roommate was deaf. We called him Deaf Tim. And he was funnier when he was drunk, but the first thing.
I'm laughing because I have a friend we call Gay Dan.
Oh, okay.
He's gay and his name is Dan.
Deft him when he introduced himself.
Super clever.
Deft him. My little sister was about probably probably, I don't know, 13, 14 years old, maybe a little older. She came up to watch. It was the SummerSlam where Shawn Michaels fought Hulk Hogan. I don't know if you remember that, but it was like 2001 or something. Anyway, she came to my college to hang and watch it because we got it for free because we had a hot box. Nice. So Tim is there, and the first thing he says, she's like nervous because she's never met a deaf person. And the first thing he says is,
what did she think was going to happen?
I don't know, but like, but it's nervous. It's nerve wracking when you meet people with disabilities for the first time. I'm sorry. It's just this. You know, if you've never had it, like, I don't.
She goes, I'm worried I'm going to say the wrong thing.
I have another one after this. But so she goes, what do I say to him? And I was like, nothing. He can't hear you. You just have to like move your lips. And she's like, that's not what I mean. I was like, trust me, everything will be fine. So she walks in and Tim goes, hey, before he even introduces himself, he goes, did you hear the one about the deaf kid? And he goes, neither did I. And then he just turns around and walks away. And she goes, is he fucking serious? And I was like,
hey, that's a nice icebreaker, I think.
That's what I said. It was great. But there was, so there's this other, one time I work in a grocery store when I'm not, you know, being a radio guru. So this guy, he had a deformed hand. He had like a penguin hand.
Awesome.
The best way I could put it is like he had the conjoined finger.
I got you.
And I didn't know it. And so I went up to him and nobody told me, they all knew this guy. Nobody told me, they didn't prepare me for this. And they're like, hey, Jimmy, this is Steve from whatever, Nabisco or whatever. And I'm like, oh, hey, Steve, how you doing? And I went right for the wrong hand.
Wait, what are you going to do?
And he literally, like, so at that point, like, what do you do, right? You just hold your hand there awkwardly. So I had to hold his hand, like, I had to shake his hand. And he didn't offer me the other hand. So I took his little penguin nub.
Yeah, come on, man, that's on him. You got to offer, if you got a deformed, you got to offer up another option.
You know what I mean? Like, that's very that's on rude him. Of him.
I bet he's awesome to play that vagina game. You know, when you're little kids.
look at the steeple. But that's cool. Yeah, because we definitely want to come to live.
Yeah, please. I'm in Atlantic City fairly often. I do the Borgata through like Gotham Comedy Club a lot. Yeah, just keep checking the Webby.
And do you when you're out on the road? Do you check? Do you like do other shit too? Like
my favorite thing to do.
Or is it like is it like museums or do you check out bands and shit? I feel like food, you check out bands.
Food related. I go to whatever, like I honestly will look up like Guy Fieri, Cincinnati. You know what I mean? Like that's how I'll do it. Cause God love him. He does hit like the cool spots every city. So I will love doing, that's like my favorite thing to do. Honestly, I do movies and food. Those are like, I mean, speaking of Pittsburgh, I was just down there. They've got like the Andy Warhol Museum was cool. Like it depends on how motivated I am. If it's something I really want to see. But yeah, I would food. I'm always like, all right, what am I gonna do for lunch? Let me go find a cool spot. So like, I'm, you know, so that's mainly what I do as far as like recreational stuff on the road. But yeah, it's so much downtime. Like movies are just the best because it kills, you know, I got a lot of planned. Like this weekend I'm in Virginia. I got, Creed 3 and John Wick 4 on the docket.
Ooh.
So
Creed 3, I'm anxious about Creed 3. I want to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Cause the first two were really good.
Yeah. They're great. They're great. And so, but yeah, I would say if it's, I don't know, man. I've been in so many shithole cities. You'd be surprised how little there are to do other than eating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we got this great hot dog stand and that's it. Yeah. But I love doing that. Like you wonder why those like food shows are a hit because I love watching Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives. I love it. I love just watching like it's so many of those places across the country. And I'm usually in one of those towns every weekend. So it's just like, I just Google those up and then, I go and check them out. It's really a fun thing to do. And you find so much awesome food. And, you know, like it could be anything like ice cream, hot dog, whatever. I mean, I eat like a fucking eighth grade birthday party anyway. So it's not hard.
That's my life, bro. Yes. I work in a grocery store and there's nothing to eat but the shit that I ate when I was like 10. So I just embrace it. Cheetos and fucking cherry Coke for breakfast.
Beautiful. But I would say it's food centric.
If you want, since I'm just spitting all this knowledge at you today, if you want a good book, a good burger recommendation. So there's a guy called George Motz, M-O-T-Z.
I'm writing these down. I have been writing all these down.
So he wrote a book called Hamburger America. You can get it on Kindle. I have it on Kindle on my phone so I can reference it. He went across the country and visited all these mom and pop burger shops across
That's
the country.
My favorite.
Yeah. Every state he checked, and then he did an expanded version because That's he missed great. A bunch. And every time I go somewhere, especially if I go see like minor league baseball, which is kind of my thing in the summer,
yeah,
I go to there and then I go and I check the burger joint, and every place I've been so far has been amazing. In That's Minnesota, awesome. They had its Juicy Lucy. They put the cheese in the middle.
Sure, I know it. I know the Juicy Lucy. Oh yeah. There's a great one in New Haven. If you might have probably read about this, it's like the original. Like they did it. They have this thing where it's burgers served on white bread, and they have these what look like sideways waffle irons, and they put the patty in vertically, and then they like spin them around. It's called Tom's New Haven or something. It's like the original burger place. I think they claim like we invented the burger or something.
Yes, you're right. It's New Haven. I don't know. I don't remember the name of it, but I know. I remember reading about that. That's like
Ted's. No, Louis's Lunch.
Where they supposedly where the first burger was ever made in America.
Yes, exactly. But shit like that, where like I love all that stuff. I'm not a huge sports guy too, but like I can never, unless it's like an afternoon baseball game, you know, I'm always working at night, so I can never take in usually the local sports teams, or I would love to do that, but
yeah,
such is life.
My frat brother, he died.
Oh, I'm
sorry. When we were in college, and our original plan was when he graduated, he was a Mets fan. So he went to see.
That would kill anybody.
What's that?
That would kill anybody.
Yeah. Our plan was to go across the country and see every ballpark.
Yeah, that's a big one.
After I graduated, when you get an English degree, you either are a writer or you're unemployed. A teacher. And I wanted to write, but like there's no money in writing.
Right.
Unless you force it on yourself. Like you got to you have to live that lifestyle.
Yeah.
And you have to I always say you want to be Stephen King. You're going to have to look like Stephen King, emaciated and always look like something's up your ass. Because I love Stephen King, but that's what he looks like whenever you see him in a picture.
He's a fucking ghoul.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's where he gets his ideas. But it's like, he's like the mirror. He's like, what do I look like today? Oh, a crypt keeper. I'm going to write a story about a fucking crypt. That's a great idea. So I decided to do the trip in his honor. So for a while,
I was
going to, somebody would represent him at every ballpark.
Oh, that's cool.
I would go to every
ballpark.
I thought
you were going to spread his ashes.
Yeah. Well, you actually can't do that at ballparks. It's illegal.
I'm sure it's you shake a little you know how Andy Dufresne shook out the rocks in the yard out his pant leg. You do it like that somehow.
I'd be Shawshanking it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mike could be my Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, what do you got there? Ah, that's just Ted. He's a Mets fan,
but he was. Oh. But so when we were out there, I realized I started going to the minor leagues too because, like you said, when you travel, if you don't have a purpose. Other than something at night, there's all this downtime. So I would be like, what the fuck are we going to do today now that we went to the ball game already? I was like, let's look for a local minor league park.
Well, you have to get alcohol
and
in your life.
Some of my favorite moments are going to Southern minor league parks and seeing the acceptable racism or bigotry.
Bull Durham Turk place.
Yeah. So the one kid was, we were walking towards the park to go in. And this mom had her three kids, and they were, country kids. They had wife beaters that were discolored. They didn't have all their teeth in, or they had lost the ones that they got. Not 100%
overalls and straw hats and
as they're walking up, the kid goes, "You ain't never seen this show." And they were talking about some show. I don't remember what it was, but I caught the tail end of the conversation because he says this. He goes, the kid goes, "Yeah, well, we don't really have cable. We just have basic TV." He goes, "You don't got cable. What are you, Jew?" And I'm like, whoa. I'm like, I mean, I'm pretty sure that that's not one of the requirements of the chosen hey, whatever. Great. It was just great. But I was like, where else but Rome, Colorful. Georgia, am I going to find it?
Yeah. Okay. So it was the South. Because I was going to, I found I do this thing because I travel a lot. And if I hear something weird or crazy or anything, I recount it in a Southern accent, even if it wasn't the South.
Just to play it safe.
I just naturally, my brain just kicks into Southern mode.
Yeah.
My best actual South one, though, was in Georgia. We were on tour. We stopped at a gas station somewhere, and we hadn't been out of the car for 8 hours or some shit at that point. So we get out. It is the middle of summer in Georgia. So it is, it's 400 degrees out objectively. So we're sweating. Just the walk from the car to in the little mini mart at the gas station, we just drenched in sweat, all of us. We go in and there's this woman at the counter. She's wearing what I can only describe as like a kid who grew up in the 90s snowsuit.
Yeah.
Where it's like the thick padding.
I still
and
she have can one.
Barely move her arms. Yeah. And we go up to the counter. So, and it, again, it's 5,000 degrees outside. So I don't understand how she's alive. And my one friend did not want to come up to the counter with me, but it was his turn to pay for the gas. So we go up to the counter and he's like, if this gets weird, I'm just giving you the money and I'm leaving. I was like, you shouldn't make snap judgments about people. So we go up to the counter and she's like, y'all ain't from around here, are you? And we're like, no, we're not. And she's like, you ever think about dying?
Jesus
Christ. My friend just goes, well, fuck this, and hands you the money.
I fucked up head. I'd be like, yes, every day, every night before I go to bed, I hope I'd wake
up. The second Christ. I walked in and saw what your snowsuit, that's the first thing I thought.
Yeah. South is weird, man. I was driving through South Carolina when I was like, I was 21 and my other friend was 21, but we had like a bunch of our friends who were still 20. And we went up to a grocery store. We were buying an obscene amount of beer. And like it was, you know, but me and my other buddy were the ones who were purchasing it. And the guy was looking at us. He's like, this is all for y'all. And we were like, yeah. He's like, what about your other friends there? And we were like, no, no, no. We're buying it. We're 21. Dude, no joke. The guy was like, you're going to have to wait here. He went and like, this is one of those southern grocery stores where there's like a sheriff on site. You know, and he's like, Sheriff, what do you think of this whole mess? And like, you don't realize when they say you're on Southern time until like something like that happens where it's like they have no fucks. Like it's the whole thing. And now we're going on like 25 minutes now where they're like, they're looking at each other, scratching their heads, contemplating. They're like, I guess since they're 21, they're buying it. But then they got a lot of friends with them that aren't 21. And I'm just sitting there. I'm going, dude, at this point, I don't even want to fucking want the beer. I just want to go. So I don't have to fucking hear you two talk anymore. Honestly, it took like a half hour for them to just be like, I'm going to have to deny you boys the sale of this beer. And it was just like, holy shit, that is Southern time. That was my first real experience with Southern time. Like, I don't know how people operate like that. It took like a half hour and everybody seemed fine with it. It was amazing.
I just think it's funny that the sheriff had to contemplate whether or not it was okay to sell
everything
beer.
With this was this big fucking meta conversation.
That's great.
Honestly, yeah, we were 21 and we should have been allowed to buy the beer. Was there a limit?
So now, that actually is something I wanted to bring up to you too. So you used to follow the Dead. Yeah.
Fish. Really? I only saw the Dead with Garcia one time before he croaked. But yeah, I followed. That was actually that story took place around us following. We were like driving to North Carolina to see Fish. We were coming from Atlanta and that was exactly what that situation was. So, yes, I did. It was a fun, super awesome way to see the country in college. You know, you drive and see the great United States and you'd like see a new concert every night. Cause they do play like different shit every single night. And, yeah, man, it was just like a month of our summers that you just travel with your friends and super cheap living. And you'd sometimes camp and sometimes you'd stay in a hotel on the good nights. And it was fun, man. I loved it.
You should do it. I mean, again, not to, you know, tell you what to do. You should do a movie about that. Your stories from following Fish.
Yeah. Yeah. We could do that. You know, it's why I'm always reluctant to say my ideas now is because I don't know if you guys remember the Action Park documentary.
Yeah.
It was like I was in that and then the same director made the HBO one and I was in that, but I got cut from the final. But then they made like kind of an offshoot fictionalized version of that. And like I'm like, that was a screenplay we had for years.
Johnny Knoxville, right?
Nobody's getting my ideas anymore, you know, because they jumped on it.
That was Knoxville, right?
That was Vernon, New Jersey.
No, no, no. Action I mean, that was Johnny Knoxville.
Oh, yeah. Knoxville's. It was like was Action movie, Point, right? And it was garbage.
Action Point, yeah.
Yeah. It was fucking. It made me so mad because ours would have been 10 times better.
I probably would have. That movie was. The concept was there. I remember seeing it. I actually remember seeing the preview And I remember the first thing I thought was, I was like, man, I wonder if that's about Action Park.
Yeah,
and
totally.
And then I saw it. I'm like, that's 100% about Action Park.
That was like the first screenplay idea I ever had where I was like, that would be an awesome story because it's true. And we could make a hilarious fictionalized version of that. But then Seth did a great job with the documentary. But they took a very serious, like an almost more serious turn for the HBO one that premiered. If you Google the world's most dangerous amusement park, the original like two-part 20-minute documentary that I'm in a lot more is out there, like me and Chris Gether. And that's a little funnier because the HBO one, they took a more serious turn. That's why I got cut. He was just like, I was sorry, man. Say, they didn't want more comics. Because
Gether's in it like in the HBO one a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And they were like, that's fine. That's the only comic we need. And so I was like, all right. I got paid, but so it was fine. But I would have been nice.
Comic quota. I saw that. You're right. The 20-minute, the YouTube one. That's the one that I saw first.
Yeah.
That one was good. But yeah, the HBO one, it's like they talk about the kid that died.
Oh, there was multiple kids who died.
Well, yeah, but they like the guy that they bring the family on, and they talk about like he was going to his brother's wedding the next day or something like that, and they decided to ride like the Alpine slide, and then he broke his neck and died. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this took away like it goes from like crashing the bumper boats into each other to like, you know, oh, this guy almost got decapitated and then he died anyway. It's like, wow, that's I don't know. You're building me up a different way, and then you just drop that bomb and you're like, oof, okay, sorry.
Yeah, that place was mayhem. It was great.